Okay, I want you to picture this. It's, say, a Tuesday morning. You're a business owner, right?
Yep.
Maybe you're running a mid-sized law firm down in Newport Beach or a logistics company up near Anaheim.
Yep.
You open your email, and there it is, an invoice from your IT provider.
Ah, yes. The one you hired because their quote looked so good, so reasonable.
Right, exactly. Do you remember that initial meeting? The sales guy was charming, and that base rate on the contract looked fantastic. It fit perfectly into your budget. But now you're looking at this invoice, and the number at the bottom is, well, it's not the number you agreed to. Not even close. It's bloated.
And you start seeing the line items.
You do.
Yeah.
There's a charge for emergency virus remediation and another one for after-hour server patching.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, that affordable monthly fee has, what, doubled?
It's the classic budget balloon effect. And frankly, it's just a universal nightmare for anyone managing a business. You think you've delegated the problem.
But you haven't.
You've actually just signed up for financial whiplash every single month.
And that is exactly what we are unpacking today. We're doing a deep dive into the Orange County Managed IT Services 2026 Pricing Transparency Guide, which just came out from Technegen.
And I know pricing guide sounds a little dry.
It sounds super dry.
Yeah.
But this thing is basically a manifesto. It's claiming that the entire industry, specifically here in Southern California, is playing this game of smoke and mirrors with business owners.
It's a really strong claim, but the data seems to back it up. What's so fascinating about this guide is that, while it's focused on the OC market, Irvine, Tustin, Santa Ana,
Sure.
it's really describing a systemic problem in the managed services provider industry, the MSP world. The whole tension is between the sticker price that gets you in the door.
And the true total cost that you actually need to keep your business running safely in 2026.
Although.
Okay, so let's set the scene. We're in 2026. The threat landscape has completely changed. Compliance rules are way tighter. AI-driven cyber attacks are not science fiction anymore. They're real. And yet, this guide is telling us that the pricing models are, what, stuck in the past? Or even worse, they're intentionally confusing.
Precisely. The guide basically identifies two dominant models. Think of it like a tale of two cities. On one side, you have the a la carte model,
Okay.
and on the other, the all-inclusive model. And the industry is basically fighting a war over which one wins.
Let's start with a la carte then, and I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second.
Go for it.
I like a la carte. You know, if I go to a restaurant, I don't always want the whole prefix menu. Maybe I just want a salad.
Yeah.
If I'm a small accounting firm in Costa Mesa, 10
Yeah.
employees, why shouldn't I just pay for the basics? Why is that considered a trap?
That is the intuitive logic, and that's exactly why it works so well as a sales tactic. It feels efficient. I only pay for what I need.
Right.
But here's the problem. In 2026, what you need isn't some short static list. The a la carte providers, they strip out essential services from the core package just to make that base rate look artificially low.
So they're selling you a car chassis.
But they're not telling you that the engine and the brakes are sold separately.
Okay, but give me specifics. What are we actually talking about here? What are they leaving out? Because if
Yeah.
it's like printer support, I can probably live with that.
Oh, if only it were that benign. No, we are talking about critical security layers. The guide lists a few acronyms that often get pushed into that add-on column, things like SIM,
SIE.
right, security information and event management, or EDR endpoint detection and response.
Okay, we hear those terms a lot, but let's be real. Most people hear that and they just think antivirus. So what's the difference? Why does excluding something like SIM even matter?
That is a great question. So think of it this way. Antivirus is like a lock on your front door. It stops known bad guys.
Okay.
SIEM and EDR. That's like having a security guard watching the cameras 24/7, looking for suspicious behavior that isn't on some wanted list yet. It's
Yeah.
proactive.
Oh, I see.
And the reason a la carte providers exclude it is because it's expensive to deliver. It requires real human analysis, expensive software. So by leaving it out, they can knock, $500 or $1,000 off your monthly quote.
So the quote looks great.
But the quote looks amazing. But then 6 months down the line, you get hit with a zero-day exploit or a really sophisticated phishing attack that your basic antivirus didn't catch.
And now you're paying emergency rates.
Now you're paying emergency rates, and that's where the budget balloon comes from.
Right.
Exactly. And look at email security. The guide points this out specifically. Email is the number one way ransomware gets in. In an a la carte model, advanced spam filtering, dark web monitoring, those are often optional upgrades.
That seems insane. That's like saying, we'll build your house, but the front door is an optional upgrade.
It's insane, but it happens every single day. A business owner sees a quote for $50 per user and thinks, great deal. They don't realize that to actually be secure, they need to add the $10 email filter, the $15 EDR, the $20 backup agent. And suddenly that $50 is $95.
Or worse, they don't buy the add-ons and
they get hacked.
Which brings us to the alternative, the all-inclusive model. This is the one the Guide and Technigian seem to be championing.
Right. This is the bundle. You get the support, the security, backup, strategy, everything for one flat, predictable monthly rate.
But I'm guessing that initial number looks a lot higher on paper.
It does. And that's the friction point, right? If you're just comparing spreadsheet row A to spreadsheet row B, the all-inclusive provider is going to look like the expensive option. You might see a quote that's 30 or 40% higher than the a la carte guy.
So how do you justify that to a CFO? How do you say, hey, I want to spend more money?
You frame it around predictability and, more importantly, aligned incentives. This is the crucial part. In an all-inclusive model, the incentives are flipped. If I'm the provider and you pay me a flat rate, I lose profit every single time your system breaks.
Because you have to fix it for free.
Correct. I have to use my engineers, my resources, and I can't bill you a dime extra for it. So I am financially motivated to prevent problems from ever happening.
So you want the network to be boring.
I want it to be boring. I want it to be bulletproof. That is proactive management.
Versus the reactive firefighting model where something breaks and cha-ching, they send you a bill.
In that reactive model, the a la carte model, your downtime is their revenue stream.
Wow.
They literally profit from your pain. In the all-inclusive model, your uptime is their goal.
That distinction, profit from pain versus profit from stability, that's huge. But let me ask you this then. If the all-inclusive model is so much better for the client, why does this hidden fee ecosystem even exist? Why isn't everyone just doing the transparent thing?
It's competitive pressure. I mean, look at the market in Orange County. It's dense. You have tech startups in the spectrum, law firms in Santa Ana, manufacturing in Irvine. It's a gold mine for these MSPs.
And everyone's fighting for a piece of it.
Everyone is. And when a provider is fighting for a lead, they know that price is the first filter.
So it's all about getting your foot in the door.
It is. They capture the lead with a stripped down rate, let's say $2,000 a month. They get the prospect committed. And then, once that contract is signed, the upsell begins. Oh, you want 24/7 monitoring? That's extra.
You want us to actually patch your servers this weekend? That's project work.
Exactly. That's a classic one.
Okay, so let's arm the listener here. If someone is sitting in their office right now, staring at a quote for IT services, what are the big red flags? How do they spot these hidden fees before they sign on the dotted line?
The Technigian Guide has a really solid checklist for this. The first huge red flag is a vague scope, specifically about time.
What do you mean by that?
If the quote says monitoring and support, but it doesn't explicitly state 24/7/365 with defined service level agreements, you should run.
But doesn't monitoring just imply they're watching it all the time?
Monitoring is a very slippery word. It can mean we have a piece of software running that will send me an email on Monday morning if your server crashes on Saturday night.
That is not what you want.
That is not what you need. Real monitoring means a human being sees an alert at 3 a.m. on a Sunday and fixes it before you even open for business on Monday. If that SLA isn't specific, you have to assume the service is minimal.
Okay, so vague time frames are red flag number one. What's next?
Optional security. And we touched on this, but it really bears repeating. In 2026, treating cybersecurity as an add-on is just negligent.
Right.
If you see line items for antivirus, firewall management, or backups as separate optional costs, that is a massive warning sign. It shows the provider sees security as a product to sell you, not as a foundational requirement of doing business.
It's a seatbelt thing again. It shouldn't be an option.
Exactly. And then you get to the most insidious one, per incident charges.
This sounds like the old lawyer model. Every time I pick up the phone, the meter starts running.
Yes. And just think about the psychology of that in a business. Let's say you have an employee, Sarah, in marketing. Her computer's acting a little weird. Maybe it's slow. Maybe a weird pop-up appeared.
Okay.
If she knows that calling IT costs the company $150 an hour, what does she do?
She reboots and ignores it. She doesn't want to get in trouble for spending money.
Precisely. And that weird behavior was actually the first sign of a ransomware attack. By discouraging contact with per-incident fees, the provider is literally creating a security gap. You want unlimited support, so Sarah feels totally comfortable calling the second anything looks off.
That makes so much sense. It removes the friction from reporting problems.
Another red flag is project work exclusions. This is the gray area where a lot of these providers make their margins. Routine maintenance, like patching a server, updating software, that should be included.
Of course.
But many contracts will classify anything that takes more than, say, 30 minutes as a project that's billable at $200 an hour.
So maintenance just becomes projects because they decide it is.
Often, yes. Unless the contract defines projects very, very narrowly, like moving to a new office or installing a totally new server, you are at huge risk of scope creep billing.
And the last one the guide warns about is long-term lock-ins.
Ah, yes. The dreaded 36-month contract with no exit clause.
Why is this so bad, though? I mean, doesn't a contract protect both sides?
It can, but in the IT world, 3 years is an eternity. Technologies change, your business needs change. The argument in the source here is really strong. If a provider is confident in their service, they shouldn't need to legally trap you. If they demand a multi-year lock-in with huge termination fees, you have to ask yourself, are they afraid I'll want to leave after just 3 months?
That's a really powerful gut check. It's confidence versus coercion. Okay, so we've torn apart the bad quotes. Let's build a good one. What should be in a standard contract for an Orange County business in 2026? What are the absolute non-negotiables?
Okay, based on the guide and just general best practices, you're looking at four pillars. First, time. It has to be 247, 365. Period.
But why is that non-negotiable? Most businesses in, say, Irvine or Lake Forest are 9-to-5 shops.
Their office is 9-to-5, their technology is 24/7, and more importantly, the hackers are global. A threat actor in Eastern Europe or Asia is working while you're sleeping.
Good point.
If your defenses go down at 2 a.m. Pacific time and nobody's there to respond until 8 a.m., you've just been exposed for 6 hours. That's an eternity in cyber warfare.
Okay, fair point. Hackers don't respect banking hours. What's the second pillar?
And the security stack.
Hey.
And this has to be the all-inclusive version. Complete endpoint security, email security with advanced phishing filtering, and network security that includes intrusion detection. It's not one thing. It's all about layers.
And the third?
Maintenance and recovery. This means automated patching so your software is never out of date. And this is critical backups that are verified.
Verified?
A lot of a la carte providers will set up a backup and then never check it again. Then a server crashes, they go to restore, and oops, the backup file is corrupted.
Oh, no.
A good contract will include regular test restores. They actually prove to you on a schedule that the safety net works.
That seems like basic due diligence, but I guess it gets skipped to save time and money.
All the time. And finally, the fourth pillar is the human element, strategic planning. This is often called a VCIO, a virtual chief information officer.
That sounds fancy. What does it actually mean for a mid-sized business?
It just means that once a quarter, your provider sits down with you, not to fix a printer, but to look at your business roadmap. Hey, you're opening a new branch in Tustin next year. Let's plan the infrastructure now so it's not a panic later.
I love that distinction.
If your IT guy only talks to you when things break, he's a mechanic. You want a partner.
Mechanic versus partner. Okay, let's get really practical. I'm a listener. I have three quotes on my desk. One's from the a la carte guy, one's from a big national chain, and one is from a local all-inclusive provider like Technigian. How do I actually compare them?
You have to do what we call a true total cost audit. And you might have to build your own spreadsheet to do it.
Walk me through that.
You take that cheap quote. Let's say it's $1,500 a month. Now, you ask them specifically, if I add 247 monitoring, EDR, email filtering, and unlimited help desk, what's the price?
You watch the number jump.
You watch that 1,500 jump to maybe 2,800. Now you compare that number to the all-inclusive quote, which might have been 2,500 all along. Suddenly, the expensive option is actually cheaper.
And you have to force them to itemize everything.
Yes. Don't settle for service fee. Ask what's in the bucket. And also, verify their local presence.
Why does geography matter so much in the age of remote work?
Because hardware still exists. If your server room in Irvine floods or a firewall physically fries itself, you don't want a technician dialing in from a call center in another state.
You need someone there.
You want someone who can get in a van and be at your office in 45 minutes. The Technigian guy really emphasizes this. They've been serving OC since 2000, that local density matters when physical things break.
Speaking of them, they use themselves as a case study. What is their specific secret sauce when it comes to contract terms?
I think their biggest differentiator is the no long-term lock-in. They operate on a month-to-month basis.
Wow. That seems risky for them. They invest all this time onboarding a new client, setting up the whole security stack. Couldn't that client just leave in month two?
They could, and that is why it is such a powerful signal of quality. By removing the legal handcuffs, Technigian is basically betting on their own performance. They have to earn your business every single month.
It shifts the power dynamic completely back to the client.
It does. It kills the complacency problem where a provider signs you for 3 years and then, you know, stops caring.
Yep, they stop caring.
You stop paying. It's the ultimate form of accountability. They also really stick to the philosophy of the price we quote is the price you pay. No surprise invoices. Ever.
It sounds so simple, but I guess in this industry, simplicity is revolutionary.
It really is. It removes the mental load. As a business owner, you want to look at your P&L and know exactly what that IT services line is going to be in November, December, and January. You just can't budget for a maybe.
We've covered a ton of ground here, from the a la carte trap to the hidden fees and why you need verified backups. But I want to zoom out for a second. Why should the listener really truly care? I mean, IT is kind of boring. We just want it to work.
You should care because IT isn't just a utility like electricity anymore. It's the central nervous system of your entire business. If your power goes out, you sit in the dark for an hour. If your IT goes down from a ransomware attack that slipped through a cheap email filter, you could be out of business.
Permanently.
So the stakes are existential.
They are. The insight from this guide isn't just read the fine print to save $200. It's that there's a huge difference between a cheap quote and real value. A cheap quote that leaves you vulnerable to a $50,000 ransom payment is the most expensive decision you will ever make.
That really reframes the whole savings argument. You're not saving money, you're just deferring risk.
Perfectly put. You're trading a predictable monthly cost for an unpredictable and potentially catastrophic future cost.
So for the listeners in Newport, Anaheim, anywhere really, what's the immediate next step? What should they do right now?
Grab your last three invoices, not the contract, the actual invoices you paid. Compare them. Did the amount fluctuate? Did you see weird charges for server maintenance or user setup? If those invoices are all over the map, you are in the budget balloon.
And if you are.
Then it's time to have a very tough conversation with your provider. Or it's time to look for one who aligns with this 2026 transparency standard. Use the checklist. Ask them about EDR. Ask them about the lock-in.
Be the annoying client.
Be the informed client, the good providers, the ones who actually want to be your partner. They'll love those questions because it lets them show their value. The bad ones, the ones hiding fees, they will get very uncomfortable. And trust me, that discomfort is the only answer you need.
I love that. The discomfort is the answer.
It usually is.
We're going to wrap it up there. This has been a fascinating look into the machinery of managed IT pricing. It is a lot more complex than just fixing computers.
It's really about risk, finance, and partnership.
So I want to leave you with one final thought to think about. We talked a lot about incentives today. We established that some providers profit when you fail and others profit when you succeed. So look at your current IT guy, look at your contract, and ask yourself this one question. If my systems crash tomorrow, would my provider lose money or would they send me an invoice?
If the answer is send an invoice, you might be on the wrong team.
Thanks for diving deep with us. Check your invoices, stay secure, and we'll catch you on the next one.